On the women's side, we have the Australians went out early in the tournament. They are the reigning gold medalists, and they're donezo. So it's kind of open field for who gets the gold. The Kiwis, the New Zealanders, are looking really good again. And the women's rugby team, our women's U.S. team, also took a heartbreaker to Great Britain. They'll be competing for fifth place as well. But, I mean, fifth is nothing to go home sad about. They're looking awesome.
Hi, and welcome back to our Sports Spotlight series, where athletes from our community come on to educate us on the basic rules of the sports that they play. Make sure you check out the entire series. And if you're new here, this is just a little bonus series between season one and two. So please catch up on some great episodes from season one as well. Our season two of our podcast is currently filming, and make sure you follow us at Instagram at morethanmystats to stay up to date on future episodes. Let's get into it. Hi, and welcome back to another Sports Spotlight. My name is Emily Zaslowski, and I am the host of More Than My Stats podcast. And I was a former volleyball player at the University of North Carolina who started the series because I found myself introducing volleyball to new friends who wanted to come support me. And, you know, we would do the same when we went to theirs. So I really wanted to focus on sports that I personally and, you know, in general, people didn't really have much of an understanding is. So this year at the Olympics, we can really support new sports with a basic understanding of them. So I'm really excited for this episode, especially with how they've kind of gotten a little viral lately. We are going to be talking rugby. So thank you so much, Leanne. I got Leanne Passero joining us today to talk about rugby. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Emily, I'm super excited for this conversation. I love rugby, and it's a new passion of mine recently. And so it's been awesome to kind of share it with friends and family and now share it with a little bit of a bigger audience.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to start before I get into my official questions that I have for you, like teaching me. So I am 30 years old. So TikTok is something that I'll be honest, I am not super familiar with, but the rugby team, US rugby team has been all over my For You page, like scrolling, and they like the personalities are just shining through. And this is part of the reason why I love this series. Cause like I've been asking everyone their favorite athletes. Cause like, I like to have a favorite, and like, it's just so nice to see sports that like people may not even have like thought of that, like realized, hey, we're competing in the Olympics this year. Now they really have a front stage. So what are your thoughts on the TikTok viralness?
Oh, I mean, there's two big things going on. And one is that rugby in this format has only been in the Olympics, last Olympics in Rio and this one. So rugby's pretty new coming back to the Olympics. It was out since 1924, I think. It hasn't been in it. And so rugby is like on this up to begin with. And the men and women's US teams they did so great in the tournament. Really proud of them for their performance. US is not really known for being a rugby powerhouse, I'm going to be honest. It's huge in other countries, but you know, the US is a little bit behind in rugby, but it was so cool to see the US women's team really make a name for themselves this year on TikTok of all places. And I actually don't have TikTok either. I deleted it after quarantine because I was spending way too much time on it. But some of my friends ended up sending me, oh, did you see the rugby girls on TikTok? And I was like, no. And so I actually re-downloaded it just for the Olympics to watch their TikToks. And I've had people from, you know, my cousin who played volleyball in college to like some of my friends' moms text me about the women's rugby team saying that they follow them on TikTok and, you know, they're watching their games now and they're thinking of me. And that's just like the coolest thing to have people reach out to me and be like, oh, I'm thinking of you because I'm watching US rugby right now. So that's been a really cool experience. The main star of the show is this girl, Lona Maher. Look her up on TikTok. That's I-L-O-N-A-M-A-H-E-R. She's just hilarious. Like, I don't know what else to say other than she's hilarious. And she's been coming up with really funny viral content that's been reposted on really mainstream media outlets on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot. And people think it's funny. And so they're following the team and getting behind them. And you know, through that, I think I posted this morning that, you know, Alana Mara and the US team this year has single-handedly grown the sport of rugby in America just in this past week, which is awesome to see. So it's been really cool to watch.
I feel like every Olympics, there's a sport that kind of generates this highlight of like, whether it's, I know like back when, you know, Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte with swimming and then Gabby Douglas and now Simone Biles with gymnastics, it's really like changing kind of like people's attention and really getting behind the story and like the team aspect. And so I think that's part of it is that like viewers in general are so much more eager to like start a new sport when you're like, not just rooting. And that's why whenever a US team's competing, it's easy to get behind them, but it's really easy to like, okay, I'm going to mark my calendar for this match now, because like now you're kind of invested. And so whether it's because you kind of know how to play, you've played in the past, or just have an athlete that you're like, all right, I want to support this athlete. So I think it's like such a cool thing that like rugby of all sports, like you said, that is not, I don't want to be offensive, but not necessarily mainstream, especially like there's no like youth opportunities where I grew up to play rugby for women. So I think the more we can grow and talk and give these sports the attention and see like how you said, how great they're doing compared to the rest of the world that has, for lack of a better term, like has had a much longer history of the sport. I think it's just so great to start having those conversations so they can start trickling down to different parts of the country and, you know, different age groups and just having more involvement and opportunity.
I think in general, yeah, I love that comparison to Phelps and Simone and whatnot. Like, I think those are, I mean, swimming's pretty traditional, but definitely gymnastics, I'd say, is pretty untraditional. And people love watching US gymnastics now. You know, that's a huge thing in the Olympics. So it'd be really cool to see rugby kind of progress in that way. And there are other competitions too that we can talk maybe a bit later that they play in. So hopefully get some more viewership for those and kind of catch up to some of our competition in the world as far as growing rugby in the States.
I would love that. So I'll be honest. I've grown up a, you know, football fan, collegiate and NFL fan. And so my knowledge of that is just like almost comparing it to the similarities and differences. So I'm really looking forward to actually learning about rugby because I think it's such like still has so many unique parts that almost I feel like I could like rugby more even than these sports. So can you start by telling us like the basics of like the objectives in rugby, how you win a game, like ways to score, things like that?
Well, I'll make it easy for you in that I will relate it to a lot of sports we do know probably. And I should start by saying that I was not a rugby player. I was a soccer player in college and I played every sport growing up and, you know, ended up on the soccer route. And I picked up rugby when I was abroad in Australia. So I was very fortunate to study abroad and I picked it up there and I was the one American on the team. My name was Captain America. And, you know, it was kind of a joke that I was learning rugby on the fly with these Australians who had been growing up playing their whole life. Right. So, you know, rugby is a really cool sport in that it takes pure athletes. I'll say right now on the men's and women's USA team, there are former college track runners, former college basketball players, cheerleaders, soccer players. So actually it's really cool to see that rugby has athletes from all over come and play like later in life and join the sport later in life. So we'll relate it to some other sports we know, but basically the gist is think a more free flowing American football. But the main thing is you have to pass the ball backwards. So you pass the ball backwards and you can run forwards. That's pretty much the gist of moving the ball. You can kick the ball forwards, but in rugby sevens, which is the form that we have in the Olympics, most of it's going to be passing. So pass back to run forward. You have a regular field about the size of a football field, you know, same width and whatnot, and you're looking to get the ball to the end zone, very similar to American football. There's no like downs or anything like that. It's much more free-flowing, like a soccer game or a hockey game. A lot of people compare it to those sports. But the big thing is, yeah, you're trying to get to your end zone. And when you get there, you have to tap the ball on the ground, which is different. You know, in football, you don't want the ball to touch the ground. Tap the ball to the ground. And if you get it in there, you get 5 points. And then you get to take like a free kick conversion, we call it. And that's like the field goal in football. But the tricky thing about that is where you get to take the kick from is a different spot every time based on where in the try zone, we call it. So instead of a touchdown, it's called a try. Based on where in the try zone you put the ball down, you get a different angle of kick. So it's harder if you put the ball down closer to the sidelines. And if you get to put it right underneath the posts, you get a straight shot kick. I don't know if that makes sense kind of without visuals. But basically the best way to score is to score right between the try zone, right between the goalposts, underneath the goalposts, tap it down, then you get a free kick right in front of the goal. And you get 2 points if you make the conversion. Unlike in American football, since there's different angles and different depths involved based on where you score, it is harder to get those conversions. Whereas, you know, in American football, we kind of expect them to make that extra point. It's not a guarantee in rugby. So that's definitely a different part of it. And those are pretty much the two main scoring opportunities you'll see in sevens game. I should mention that there is a different type of rugby that's 15s people. It's bigger, it's longer, it's a bit more brutal. But the sevens match is really cool in the Olympics because it's fast. It's like a sprint, not a marathon. It's only 14-minute long games. So you, if you sleep through it, like, it's over. So set your alarms early, I guess, is the message for that one. And yeah, it's really fast moving. So it's really cool.
Okay, I love that. And I'm hearing lots of like similarities because that is actually the main thing that I noticed when I was watching rugby that I liked more than the American football component of like how you're stopping after, like there's just lots of stop and go that exactly like you said, kind of like hockey or it's like soccer, even it's more free flowing and action keeps going and like quicker pace. So is there like halves or anything, or like, is it just like how does the timing break down?
So I feel like I'm giving you a lot of information. Feel free to stop me anytime.
No, this is good.
So it's 2 7-minute halves and it's running clock pretty much unless there's a bad injury or something. So it's fast, but those 7 minutes, a 7 minute half is like a lifetime when you're out there. It's hard work, really hard work. I mean, there's 7 people covering the length of a football field, right? And doing all sorts of aerobic activity. So it's hard work, but it's fast. It's 7 minutes, a 1 minute halftime or like 2 minute halftime, and then another 7 minutes running clock. Something cool though about rugby too is in the Olympics for sure. Let's say the time expires. So you hit the end line of either a half or the full time. The game doesn't stop right away until the ball either is dead or out of bounds or something. Or let's say you're winning and you want the game to end, you can just kick it out of bounds. But if you're losing, let's say, and you're down only by a couple points and the clock expires, it's still not over. You can still go for that end zone and keep the momentum going until you lose the ball, basically. So that's something cool that I really like. It's really not over till it's really over. And it's up to the ref's discretion as to kind of when to call it.
That's awesome. So similar, I guess, I think that's kind of like ice hockey and soccer again, kind of like with the ending and like our extra time being added and things like that. Yep. Okay, cool. So you've told me that it's like all depending on which number people, like, are there positions that people are like specialized in? And I guess what are the different purposes if there are positions?
Sure. So in rugby sevens, it's definitely a bit more just pure athleticism. There are going to be in both sevens and 15s, there's going to be forwards and backs. I think of forwards as the big beefy guys, the strong ones, and the backs are the speedy ones. Smaller, speedier, you know, more agility. Forwards are power, backs are speed. In 15s, those positions get much more specific, much more specific roles. In sevens, everyone's really kind of a utility player. Everyone's kind of doing a little bit of everything. There definitely are people who are better at different things. You know, someone will be good at kicking. Someone will be stronger and do certain things at breakdowns, we call them, which is, you know, tackles. But everyone's kind of athletic and is capable of doing multiple things. But you'll hear forwards and backs.
Okay, cool. So in sevens, let's say, because that's what the Olympics is, you said, correct? Okay, so in sevens, is there even time to do substitutions? Are there substitution rules, or is it pretty much like maybe a few switches at halftime, but really those 7 are on there for the full time?
We'll definitely see some subs, especially in this Tokyo heat. But yeah, you have a starting 7, and I believe you're in this Olympics, I believe you're allowed 5 substitutions. Most people have been using those in the tournament so far. It's either at halftime or at a pause in the game, which is, we'll kind of get to them, but either after after a try or during after a penalty or something like that, something where somewhere where the game stopped, since it is such a free-flowing game. But the thing that's risky about that is you could go a whole half without really having one of those stoppages that allow for a substitution. So I know, like, if you're definitely planning on putting someone in for the second half, you might want to put them in during that second half break or during that half break, because the game is so free flowing, you might not even get that opportunity.
Okay, that makes sense. So you touched briefly on already the different ways you can move the ball. Can you just go into a little more detail about like what exactly like a backwards throw might look at, or any other like things that we might be seeing of like why they're moving the ball the way they are?
Definitely. So rugby sevens, you're going to see a lot of just backwards passing. We're not going to see as many kicks because it is such a little people on the field. You're running a lot. Kicking the ball is going to make you have to run more. Basically, I think the best way to describe it is on offense, you are trying to find a hole in a defensive wall. The wall is lined up like a flat wall of seven men of the other team, and you're trying to find a hole in there. If you get tackled, you have to go to the ground and you're going to try to, you stay on the ground and you push the ball back towards your team. So maybe if you think about it in football terms, it's like the center will hand it off to the quarterback. And then the person who's receiving the ball is then either going to, you know, pick it up off the ground and run or pass or something like that. And we call that a breakdown. So when two people collide from the opposite teams, both people go to the ground in a tackle, that's called a breakdown. And what can happen is that's an opportunity for either team to kind of get the ball, to contest the ball. So after a tackle's made, unlike in football, the play obviously doesn't stop. So there are some certain rules, but let's say you're the defense and you tackle someone to the ground, you can try to get that ball while they're still on the ground. So that means every time you're going into a tackle, the ball is contested, basically, which is really cool. And obviously, when you go down and you're holding the ball, you do have a bit of an advantage because you have possession and the rules kind of work in your favor. But depending on the speed and the strength of defense, they can get that ball right away off that tackle, which is really cool. So possession will change much more frequently. There are penalties that also help change possession. Penalties can be for anything from a high tackle, which is a safety thing. So you have to tackle below the chest line for safety. They teach you early on that you want to put your cheek to their hip, kind of aim for the hip area. So something like a high tackle would be something above the neckline. That would be a penalty. If it's really blatant, you can get a red card or a yellow card, which is like soccer. You have to remove yourself from the field for X amount of time. You could also have penalties for a forward pass or an accidental drop of the ball that moves the ball forward. Anything that moves the ball forward is called a knock-on or a forward pass. Those are illegal to prevent, you know, moving the ball illegally. So yeah, there's a myriad of penalties as well. And something also super unique after a penalty is called the scrum. So that is when the people, the big sweaty people come together and they push each other like in a little pushing match for the ball. It's really cool to watch in 15s because the pushing match has more people, but in sevens, it's just three on each side and they come and jostle for the ball. And those are the big guys usually. So that's another way that a penalty can reward either team and kind of change possessions.
Okay, I love that, because scrum is one of the terms that I've like definitely heard that people like, I guess, you know, kind of love, and it's like exciting for them to see. Yeah. So, okay, and you actually touched a little on penalties. Are there any other basic rules or terminology that like when we're watching here that they're like, okay, that's something that you probably are going to want to know?
So a cool aspect that you might see, you might be confused of, is like I would compare it to a throw-in in soccer, right? So if the ball goes out of bounds, what happens? And it's funny, I actually did not know this rule when I was playing one of my first games, and I totally messed it up because I assumed it was like soccer or football. But you basically can't run out of bounds with the ball, or you give the ball up. So you have to stay inside the lane. If the ball goes out of bounds for whatever reason, it's given to the other team, and it's something called a line out. And the lineouts are really fun and people really like it because it looks like gymnastics almost. And often they will have a throw-in of sorts, but what they do is they lift someone up in the air to come catch the ball in the air. So like a lineout where both teams put a lift up is really cool because you see like both teams try to push them up at the same time and try to battle for the ball in the air. Sometimes they'll do like a jump and lift someone during a kickoff, which is basically the same thing as a football kickoff. So there's some cool aerial components that are a little bit gymnastics-like. And one of my favorite players on the men's team was a former gymnast in college, which I think is hilarious. And he's a huge guy. And he's the guy that goes up in the air for the lifts. So that's really cool and really fun and unique. So those throw-ins are always contested. The person throwing in the ball obviously has a bit of an advantage because they have a code or a signal that they say to their team and tell them what to do or how to do it. But you have to throw the ball down the middle so that it's equal for both teams to be able to kind of get it. So sometimes you'll see maybe a throw was too cheating towards your team and the ref will call it back and it'll be the other team's ball or something. But the line out is really cool and really unique to the sport. And I was almost one of my favorite parts of the game just because I thought it was cool to do and cool to watch. And then the scrum, we said, is a big one. The scrum is the beefy matchup between the two big guys kind of pushing for the ball. The breakdown is after a tackle, and that can also be called a ruck, R-U-C-K, where someone is tackled, goes to the ground, and two people kind of do the battle above her for the ball. Other than that, you kind of have, you know, your try is a touchdown, your conversion is the extra point, and that's pretty much the main ones that I think you would probably need to know.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I feel like you explained those perfectly for someone who has like no knowledge. So that was really, really good. Okay. So coming into this Olympics, is there a favorite either this year or historically, like, is there typically a favorite country that is expected to win?
So it was really cool to watch the men's tournament just wrapped up. Fiji took gold. They took gold also in Rio, which was really awesome to see. Also in the men's tournament, I believe the silver medal went to New Zealand, which traditionally the Kiwis are really good at rugby. The Kiwis are called the All Blacks. They're kind of a famous rugby team. There's a lot of movies about them and, they're a powerhouse obviously at rugby. And then the bronze medal went to Argentina, which is awesome to see. I believe that's their first bronze medal. Argentina is also a powerhouse on the men's side. They, for the South American, they represent that South American side really well. They're always very good. They're always very competitive. They play in a lot of the big tournaments. And so they got a bronze medal. The U.S., I mean, they did great. They came in fifth place. They have some really promising potential on the team. We have what people call the fastest man in rugby. His name's Carlin Isles. He actually almost qualified for the Olympics in the 100-meter sprint, which is insane. When he's at top speed, he is insane. So the men's team, they did great. I was really proud of them. They pulled out two big wins and really competed well with South Africa, who's another big team. And then they went out in the quarterfinals to Great Britain in a bit of a heartbreaker. On the women's side, we have the Australians went out early in the tournament. They are the reigning gold medalists and they're donezo. So it's kind of open field for who gets the gold. The Kiwis, the New Zealanders are looking really good again. And the women's rugby team, our women's US team, also took a heartbreaker to Great Britain. They'll be competing for fifth place as well. But I mean, fifth is nothing to go home sad about. They're looking awesome. So I'm really proud of like what USA Rugby has done in this tournament. And it'll be really cool to see them grow from here. But my money for the women's side is probably New Zealand, although it'd be cool to see Fiji women kind of match their men's side and also take gold. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. And like, no different than what you said, like even playing for fifth is still like really exciting. And the skill level you're going to see there is going to be phenomenal. And especially in the sport, like we've already said, is kind of, I don't know if underdeveloped, maybe underappreciated is the right word in the US still, that there's still like a long way to go to get kind of like the recognition and the opportunities. So I think that's like such a good showing and just shows like, hey, just imagine what our rugby team could be doing with the right opportunities in the pipeline. So with those teams remaining that you just mentioned, do you have any personal favorite athletes you enjoy watching? Like we said earlier with like TikTok, it's always a little more fun when you like are rooting for a person and like kind of know their story behind it. Like, you know, whether they're working on the COVID front lines and things like that. So what athletes are your favorites or just ones to watch in your opinion?
Oh, I mean, obviously Alana Mar has made a huge name for herself on TikTok. She's number two on the US. She's a brute and she is awesome. She's doing great stuff. I also really like Christy Kirsch on the US team. She was a D3 soccer player, won a national championship at Williams, I believe it is, which is a great school and one of my rival schools, honestly, at the D3 soccer level. So really cool to see her kind of transition into rugby at 23, which is, you know, how old I am now, and be such a force on the field. And then, I don't know, I think I might be rooting for the Fijian women in the gold medal match. I think it'd be really cool to see Fiji take over and sweep. The Fijians run such a beautiful style of rugby. They're powerhouses every year. That's like their sport. I was actually super fortunate when I picked up rugby in Australia. I actually got to travel to Fiji and I saw some games and stuff on TV, just, you know, at local restaurants. And the way Fijians love their rugby is just absolutely beautiful. It's super cultural for them to get behind their team, even though they're kind of like the smallest, like underdog. So it'd be really cool to see the Fiji women take that one.
I agree. I love Fiji. It's such a cool place and like the community there for especially being so small. And plus it sounds like they might be at least on the woman's side, a little bit of an underdog. And so I think I like that. I'm in Fiji. Let's go. But yeah, I'll stay updated. And Leanne, if you wouldn't mind too, if you can remember, I'm trying to keep track of so many sports right now. If you can like tag me or just send me a DM or a text or something, and I will make sure I share it out when these and is it a rugby match? What's the correct terminology there? Rugby game, rugby?
Yeah, a match or a game. You'll hear different.
Okay. Okay.
Different terms for it. The field is definitely called a pitch instead of a field. That's a bit more English and a bit of the English vocabulary coming in there. And then something also really cool I wanted to mention too is that if you're interested in sevens and watching more, there's this really cool tournament that people don't know about called the World Rugby Sevens Series. And it's really unique in that it goes months long. And the teams that are in the tournament travel to different countries across the world and play a tournament in each city. And let's say there was one in Los Angeles, I believe, like last year. And so all the eight teams came to Los Angeles, played in like a round robin tournament, and like one team would be the crowned winner of that city. But then they'd go next month to a new city and do it all over again. And you kind of gain points throughout the entirety of the months, kind of moving towards the end. And I just think that's a really cool, unique tournament structure. And it's called the HSBC 7 Series. And that should be starting up again, I believe, this fall for the women and the men. I just think that's a really awesome way to, you know, unite like the world around a tournament and the world around a sport and have different unique host cities and get these really cool athletes traveling to cool places. So that's something that I'm looking forward to too. And I think if anyone is interested in watching more rugby, that'll be coming up soon.
Oh, good. Perfect. So I will link to TikTok if you're listening on the podcast in the description below. And also I'll link more information on that because I think ultimately like we talked with softball that's starting in the Athletes Unlimited this month. So I think there's just like so many opportunities that are outside the Olympics. I think so much around this time of year, we look at the Olympics like the end all be all for these athletes, but there's so much more that they're doing outside of this. There's so many more opportunities in a lot of these sports. So I think it's really cool to highlight that and thanks. Is there any other highlights that we should know about coming up off the top of your head?
One. And then if you're interested in watching live rugby, I am hoping to go to DC in October, October 27th, the All Blacks. So the New Zealand team is coming to America to play us on home soil, which I don't think has happened in a long time. I believe that's going to be a 15s match, but they just announced it that, you know, the All Blacks are coming to America to play us. And I hope we put up a good fight for them. But the All Blacks are kind of the legendary rugby team and culture. And there's, you know, movies and TV shows about them. So that's really interesting. And I'm excited to see what that looks like for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know exactly. I'm sure there's a few, but I'm thinking of one specific movie that I was like, oh yeah. And before I was like, that'd be so cool to go to and like watch that right before to get like hyped for it. So, okay. I will make sure that I highlight both of those things, because I think that's such a cool opportunity, especially for our East Coast people. DC is pretty central. So if they're looking to attend a sporting game now that, you know, it's kind of safe to do so with things starting to open back up, I think that would be like the perfect rugby game, especially like with most of these tournaments being international and things like that. I think that's awesome. Okay, cool. So be on the lookout. We will tag more updates, but thank you so much, Leanne. I think this was like the perfect kind of like scratches the itch to like get people wanting to learn more. And I think your comparisons were phenomenal. So thanks for coming on today and explaining that all for us.
Thank you so much, Emily. This has been super fun. I love talking about rugby. I think it's, someone on the announcer TV said that it's the fastest growing sport in the world. I'm going to choose to believe that that's true. And I hope that the U.S. kind of gets a bit more in on it. It's a really awesome, beautiful sport to watch and easy to get into and easy to appreciate. So,
especially with all these crossover sports, there's so much like hand-eye coordination that like, and like knowing your body, that's it, it's, I do think, I don't want to say easy because I don't think it's an easy sport, but I think it's possible that many people would succeed in the sport. So, I'm really excited. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Leanne. This was phenomenal. We will be talking with you again soon. But thank you so much.